Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Have a holy, jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holy, jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street, say hello to
the best time of the year. Magical time, a spiritual time, that's a better word, because that's what it is, the season of Christmas. Welcome back to the third and final hour of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's been a great show, a fun show, a different show. Tonight, this first broadcast of the month of December, December 1st, Saturday night, and we're here at our flagship AM studio. At least I'm here now, joining the show in progress tonight, and what a great show it's been throughout, particularly the first hour and change when Sam Bushman was guest hosting in my stead, and he and Keith Alexander just lit the airwaves on fire. As I was driving into the studio tonight, I was listening to their back and forth. Great radio. If you missed it, be sure to catch it in the broadcast archives, which will be up tonight, a few minutes after the show. You can get them at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And Keith, I want to tell you about something that was going on in Memphis today. There's a new fund out there to help primarily first-time low-income homeowners. So if you've never owned a home before and you're low-income, you know what you probably are. That's fine. Nothing wrong with it. But when you're getting free money, and you know how to get that free money, then the plot thickens. And so, listen, here's the story out of the Commercial Appeal. Well, first of all, let me ask you this. We all know about the great financial meltdown a couple of years ago. All these people defaulted on their mortgages. We know what brought it on. First of all, let's just say, and I'm going to tell you why I'm singling out black families and black borrowers in this case, based upon what I saw today. But if you are a black man or a black family and you're going to buy a home and you're trying to get a loan for a home and you don't qualify and the bank doesn't give you the loan, well, that bank is setting themselves up for a racial discrimination lawsuit. We've seen it 100 million times. Now, if that same black family comes in and they don't qualify for the loan, but they get it anyway, because you're afraid of the lawsuit that will inevitably come if you don't give it to them, you're also guilty of racism if you are a bank or a lender, because they call that discriminatory practice of predatory lending. Well, here in the Memphis area, Wells Fargo in particularly was sued for predatory lending. It was their fault, you see, that the blacks couldn't pay their mortgages. It's their fault for giving them the loans that they didn't deserve because the government forced them to. Well, Wells Fargo was sued by Shelby County and the city of Memphis, Tennessee. And now, as part of the settlement, they have forked over, Wells Fargo has, $7.5 million that is now being redistributed in $15,000 loan increments to low-income families. The only way you can qualify to get this $15,000 grant, which is to be paid towards your down payment on your home, is if you are a family earning less than $50,000. Well, if two people are working and you're earning less than $50,000, you're probably working at Popeyes. You're probably working at some of these places that they are want to work at. And anyway, well, let me just put it this way. You're saying, oh, you're singling out blacks, you're being a racist. Well, I went to this thing today. This is where I was today. I was scoping it out. I was behind enemy lines at the Cook Convention Center downtown. There was probably about 1,000 people there. There was 3 white families there. My wife and I were there, and we saw 2 others out of over 1,000 people. Well, here's the story. Heather dreams of owning a home. This was in the Commercial Appeal today, the Memphis paper. But she hasn't got enough cash for a down payment. My bank won't work with me if I don't have a down payment. the biggest help in the world would be if I could get help with that down payment. Now, God forbid that she work for it, that she save up for it. She needs to have it handed to her. This is the modern America. She hopes to get help this week as Memphis and Shelby County prepare to release $7.5 million for a down payment assistance program aimed at getting prospective home buyers into houses. The funds come from Wells Fargo. As part of an agreement the city and the county reached earlier this year with the mortgage giant to end a lawsuit over predatory lending, the program will launch with home buyer workshops sponsored by Wells Fargo Friday and Saturday at the Memphis Cook Convention Center. The Helping Home Buyers program will provide down payment assistance of up to $15,000. The city and county sued Wells Fargo in 2009, alleging that the bank violated the Fair Housing Act by unlawful, irresponsible, unfair, deceptive, and discriminatory lending practices. Under the agreement reached in May, Wells Fargo agreed to provide a total of $7.5 million to the city and county. United Housing Incorporated, a local nonprofit that helps low and moderate income and first-time home buyers, will administer the Wells Fargo program and provide support services to home buyers. Keith, what do you make out of all that article?
Well, it just welcome to the Orwellian world of 21st century America. Let me just give it to you in a nutshell. The Community Reinvestment Act passed under the Jimmy Carter administration and then really put on the fast track by the Bill Clinton administration, both Democrats, was intended to make banks and mortgage companies lend money to black and other minority people who didn't qualify for loans because they had poor credit history or they had exceedingly low incomes. In other words, the race-neutral criteria that every responsible bank or mortgage company ought to use in deciding who they should lend money to. Now, the Community Reinvestment Act forced banks and mortgage companies to make these loans against their better judgment. When the loans were made, well, you better make sure that the black people and the Hispanic people in the West, you know, in places like Las Vegas, they had a lot of houses go into default also, but it was primarily Hispanic borrowers rather than black borrowers. But if they default, then you're guilty of predatory lending. This is the classic catch-22. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you don't make the loan, you're guilty of racially discriminating lending practices and a specific violation of the Community Reinvestment Act. And then on the other hand, if you do make the loan against your better judgment and the black or Hispanic borrower defaults, then you're guilty of predatory lending. So you can't win. Basically, you've got to make sure that these people not only get a loan, but if they start having difficulty in paying, you're supposed to step into the breach, apparently. This almost sank the world's economy back in 2009, folks, if you'll recall. We had to have all this stimulus money directed at various lending institutions in order to prevent the whole financial system from collapsing like a house of cards. Well, now that the dust is settled, the typical civil rights pimps have swung into action. The city of Memphis, run by these type of pimps, brought suit against Wells Fargo. So did all sorts of other predominantly minority communities. And
if you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows.
All right, everybody, all we're getting close to that special time. Playing some of the fun music here during the show. As we get a little bit closer to Christmas, we're going to be playing a little more of the spiritual music. Mary, did you know? Do you hear what I hear? Oh, holy night, joy to the world, the way in a manger, so on and so forth. Hark the Herald Angels, what a great song. All those songs, they really make your hair stand on edge, give you chill bumps. At least they do me. Well, Keith, you know, I don't want to mislead the audience. Obviously, I didn't go to that class today, that seminar, just to go behind enemy lines and talk about it on the radio. I went because my wife and I are considering moving, and our lender, the bank we're working with, we are already homeowners, but the bank we're working with said, you need to go and check out this class. You might be able to get some help in paying down a down payment on your next home. Now, I normally hesitate for stuff like this because it's gimmicky. It's hard to qualify for if you work for a living, for instance, like I do. But I went anyway just because, hey, you know, we pay into the system. I didn't know at the time that Wells Fargo was you know, paying for this. I thought that this was a government plan to stimulate home growth. I should have known it's just a more redistribution of the wealth. But nevertheless, you know, we pay into the system. It should benefit us, too, instead of everyone else. I went. And, you know, we were there, and there was three other white families, and it was just all black, and they were all lined up to get this handout. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I work very hard to live a very modest middle-class existence, okay? I worked my way up from living with my parents to becoming a homeowner and living in a nice area that I can feel comfortable raising my daughter. There are a couple of reasons we want to move from one part of town to the other. And we live in a nice part of town, but we want a newer house. We want a house that has a better yard for her to play in. And there's a couple of other reasons. But we're happy at the home we have now. But the point is, I worked for that house. I bought that house. No one gave me nothing. Okay? I work hard. I pay my taxes. And then I was in a room today with people who don't do either. They don't work. They don't pay their taxes. And I'm sure some of them have jobs. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure there were some good people there. But for the most part, you know, I'd never heard of anything like this. You know, $15,000 coming to you from the government via Wells Fargo to pay down a home. But I give blacks credit on this. They're geniuses at finding out where the free stuff is and how to get it. I mean, how do they know? You know, I'd never heard of this until earlier this week when the lender said, hey, y'all need to check out this seminar. I can get you signed up for the class. Go do it. And so, you know, I said, okay, you know, can't hurt anything. Let's do it. But there was a thousand blacks. How they heard about it? And why were there no more whites there than what we saw?
Well, I've got the short and sweet answer to that. Basically, Jewish power and influence informs black organizations like churches, like the NAACP, about these things. And they give tutorials and seminars on how to access this. And to make sure that these instructions don't fall on deaf ears or on people that aren't able to follow through, they actually send their functionaries with these people to the welfare office, for example, when they apply for welfare. This is what happened that almost sank New York City in the late 70s under Mayor John Lindsay's regime. This is what they were doing at the Cook Convention Center today. These people were there because they were instructed to go and told what to do and told what the bonanza was. There's no effort among white churches or among white advocacy groups. In fact, they don't exist except for the political cesspool, the Council of Conservative Citizens, and a few others to tell them about all of this stuff because, quite frankly, this was a particular goodie that was never intended for white people. It's intended exclusively for black people. They're giving them $15,000 to make a down payment on a home for. And again, they better not default on this. If the bank lets them default, the bank is going to be guilty for predatory lending. We're in for another round of these giveaways.
And you know it was geared for well, they could hardly be called the minority community in Memphis because they make up 65% of the population, but it was geared towards blacks because it's geared toward low-income people. You have to be making less than $50,000 in your household, okay, in order to qualify for this. So I think that that's going to knock us out anyway. But at any rate, they were there, and they were getting it, and they were excited about it. And you read the article that states that all of this money has come from Wells Fargo because the county sued them for predatory lending, quote unquote. We talked about that earlier. But the thing that got me was that after you went through this class, you went into another room and they told you about all the homes that were for sale in Bartlett, Germantown, Collierville, Arlington. All right. Tell Keith, the folks that aren't part of our local audience, the people listening around the country and around the world, what's significant about homes in Bartlett, Collierville, Arlington, and Germantown, and you know these blacks that are soon to be newly equipped with $15,000 put towards their home, where they're trying to direct them to.
Trying to direct them to the white suburbs, of course, where people like James have worked hard to distinguish themselves from the pack while they're moving the pack out to them. In fact, they're trying to prime the pump by saying that lead-based paint, which was used in all of these homes, you know, built prior to 1975, is the reason why black children are so dumb. That's why they can't do well in school, because they're being poisoned by dust from this lead paint. So consequently, they're trying to accelerate blacks abandoning the inner city and dispersing them into white neighborhoods. You can run, folks, but you can't hide, thanks to your friendly federal government. No wonder people want us to see.
Well, folks, coming up in just a second, we're going to have Richard Spencer rounding out the show. He is the former editor of Alternative Right magazine, Talkie Mag. He's the current editor or executive director of Washington Summit Publishers. We're going to be talking about some anti-white movies that are coming out just in time for Christmas. One of the biggest, of course, currently is Steven Spielberg's latest historical sermon by the title of Lincoln, The Django Unchained. They saved the best for last. Coming out on Christmas Day itself, about a fugitive slave who glorifies himself in the sadistic butchering of white Southerners. It's a another movie by Quentin Tarantino, who brought you such sadism as Pulp Fiction and Inglourious Basterds, according to the spelling. Well, Richard Spencer is going to be telling us all about that in just a moment. I want to remind you again, folks, you enjoy the show, we need your support. The Political Cesspool is a listener-supported entity. Our fourth and final fundraising drive of the year is currently ongoing. It kicked off earlier this week. It will run through December 31st. You donate $100 or more, you're going to get an autographed booklet, a collector's edition of the greatest original articles to ever appear on our blog. It's going to be signed and personalized to you by all of the Political Cesspool hosting staff, yours truly, Keith Alexander, Bill Roland, Winston Smith, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller. That's for contributions of $100 or more between now and December 31st. Of course, any contribution, no matter how big or how small, helps to keep us going. And the reasons that we need to be on the air are readily apparent. And you're not just donating to us. A percentage of everything you give during this fourth quarter fundraising drive will kick back to the network, Liberty News Radio, that syndicates our show. Without them, we would not be here. So we're all in this together, and we want to make sure that there is cross-pollination. So donate to the show. You'll be donating to the network, and we need your support tonight. Give us a Christmas gift, if you will, and we'll give you the gift that keeps on giving throughout the year, every Saturday night here on the Political Cesspool. Donate tonight, safely, securely, discreetly, at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We'll be right back with Richard Spencer.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two. But you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. cardioprim.com.
get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Joy to the World, played by the Edison Concert Band.
Everybody, well, while those of us, the men of the West, prepare to celebrate Christmas in our unique way and tradition, Hollywood is gearing up to celebrate it in theirs. And to help me make sense of it, or to the extent that sense can be made of it, Richard Spencer, my good friend and yours, joins me to round out tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. Richard is, of course, the former editor of Talky Mag, the former editor of AlternativeRight.com, and is currently the executive director of Washington Summit Publishers. We reprinted or republished a phenomenal review that Richard wrote recently of the new 007 movie, James Bond, Daniel Craig's Skyfall. And he's joining us tonight to make to at least discuss all of the anti-white films being released just in time for Christmas. Richard, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me on, James. I appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure. You know, I say that Hollywood's releasing these movies just in time for Christmas. The truth of the matter is, I guess, that they release these movies year-round, and Christmas is certainly no exception. But you wrote about Skyfall. If I understand correctly, you saw Lincoln last night. Where do you want to start?
Well, yeah, I felt like I had to do a little bit of homework to go see Lincoln. So I drug myself out to the movie theater and sat through the whole 2.5 hours. But it was actually a little bit better than I thought. So I guess maybe we can start with Lincoln.
Well, let's start with Lincoln, because I think at Alternative Right, or I should say at Amarin, on Alternative Right, obviously your review of Skyfall appeared on Amarin.com. Alec Ryan's review of Lincoln appeared. Someone had emailed me recently, a female listener of the show, and she had mentioned that she went to see the movie, and while she was watching it, it crossed her mind, would we be upset with her? Would the cesspool host be look down on her for having paid admission for that? And to that I would say, no, I see this stuff. I have a filter on my mind. I have a brain that works. I watch professional sports from time to time. I'm not a fanatic like some of these people you see on, you know, college football game day each Saturday. But I go to the movies. I watch television. I see the stuff that goes out there. And sometimes it's necessary that we do that. But
yeah, I agree. I mean, this is a more general question. But yeah, I don't we can't just be monks and try to escape it all and only, you know, read, you know, Aristotle and the Bible or something. You know, you just need to go to these things with a filter. You need to go to these things with a critical distance. And I think when you do that, you can kind of better understand society, better understand how we need to move forward as a society, better understand what the kinds of things we want to avoid in our upcoming society and the kind of different culture that we want to create. So I think it is important to tap into pop culture a little bit. And also, let me just mention this to get started with Lincoln. With all due respect to Alec Ryan, he criticized Lincoln for being historically inaccurate, but it's a movie. You know, I mean, Braveheart was wildly historically inaccurate, but that doesn't mean that it's not a really thrilling movie. And it's actually one of my Scottish friends is joking. You know, Braveheart was released in the 90s or something, and then, you know, 20 years later, there's, like, Scottish independence actually happened. So, you know, it's clearly a powerful film. And, you know, Gone with the Wind was probably, well, I know, it's historically inaccurate in many ways, so we shouldn't worry about that. It's film, it's meant to inspire, it's art, things like that. I just think you have to look at how is it inspiring? Like, what is the myth that it's putting forward? Because, you know, forget about the facts. Facts don't matter anyway. Facts get blown away in the face of a great, powerful myth. You You know, we've kind of seen this. And I think the myth of Lincoln is actually quite interesting because I'm referring to Lincoln the movie. It is not just a simplistic, naive myth of Lincoln as this honest saint, you know, kind of thing. You actually have a fairly complex guy, and he is actually well aware in this movie. And I was surprised to see this. He's well aware that he is disobeying the Constitution in many ways, that the Emancipation Proclamation, that he actually only freed slaves in places that he could not actually free them. And he actually, you know, in the Emancipation Proclamation, he allowed slavery to exist, to continue to exist in those places that were actually under federal control. So he admits these things. And I think the kind of more, let's say, complex myth that Spielberg's trying to push forward is that the ends justify the means, that, you know, he believes in equality, and he's pushing us towards this one day of equality. And to do that, he might need to break the Constitution or bend it, but while doing that, he's kind of upholding its higher ideals. And you have this kind of fascinating sense where, you know, Thaddeus Stevens is actually in this film. And Thaddeus Stevens, he hails from Pennsylvania. He is a true abolitionist, Christian heretic lunatic, you know, who wants true equality, you know, intermarriage, you know, miscegenation, wealth through disease, the whole lot, you know, communist, Bolshevik. And although that's an insult to communists, I think, compare them to the Thaddeus Stevens. But anyway, and he and Lincoln are talking, and they essentially agree on the whole thing. And Lincoln is, you know, we all agree that equality is the most wonderful thing on earth, but it's just a question of the means to get there. And Thaddeus is kind of like, he's a good American, but he's just in a hurry. And Lincoln is a little more cagey and nuanced and strategic, and he's able to kind of get us there in a better way. And that's basically the thing in the movie. There's actually a very powerful scene where someone asks Thaddeus Stevens, they're like, do you actually believe in real equality? Like, we're going to start marrying each other. Women are going to be voting, you know, egalitarian society. And he goes, he's sitting there, and you know, he wants to say yes, because that truly is what Thaddeus Stevens believes. You know, he went whole hog in this whole equality stuff. But he lies, and he says, no, I merely want legal equality, nothing more. And so while he's blatantly lying, Spielberg starts playing this, like, John Williams score, you know. So Thaddeus Stevens is lying for Congress, and you hear this, like, you know, kind of music in the background. And essentially, I think what Spielberg is trying to put forward is that the ends justify the means. Basically, we all agree that equality is wonderful, and any way that we get there is in the end justified. And that is basically the kind of Lincoln myth, that he was a kind of terrible, complex, flawed man, but he brought us towards this universal goal that, you know, all men are created equal.
Richard, I'm not going to read the entire article, obviously, because of time constraints, but I'm going to read a couple of excerpts from the Lincoln Review that was a feature at Ameren this week, and this is what the author writes. Steven Spielberg's latest historical sermon begins with the bearded one smiling at two black Union soldiers who recount their exploits at a battle that is a figment of Mr. Spielberg's imagination. The bolder, more intelligent of the two Hectors, the president on the pay inequalities between black and white soldiers. The scene is interspersed with footage from a battle in which a black Union troops overcome white Confederates in brutal hand-to-hand combat. A white face is stamped drowning into the mud by a booted black man. This may be all you need to know about the movie. It goes on to read, two white hick Union soldiers run up later, breathlessly and ineptly trying to recite Lincoln's Gettysburg Address for the president. They forget how it ends, and the recital is finished by the intelligent, complaining black private as he saunters off into the night. Stupid whites, smart blacks. We get it. We see it in every television commercial during basketball timeouts. It goes on. The few Southerners that are featured are snarling, greasy bigots recoiling before the erect, scowling black Union guards. They slink by during a meeting. He writes that there's no portrayal of the noble Lee, the courageous Stonewall, or knightly Forrest. He was surprised that General Grant was not played by Morgan Freeman. The sacred black experience is the only history that matters, and the only thing that ever prevented these noble people from attaining their uplifting potential was foaming old white guys with mutton chops. This was basically the gist of the article. I know, Richard, you and I are equipped with antibodies that protect us from such brainwashing. But do you think that the purpose of this movie was to foment more anti-white hatred?
Well, yeah, it was, but we have to remember what it is, because it's a little more complicated. Hollywood is never going to create films that you have a bunch. It's like some 70s blaxploitation movie where a bunch of black gangsters are, you know, going around raping white women and beating up white. You know, they're not. Maybe they'll do that in some After Dark type movie, but they're generally not going to do that. And I guess I should hold that thought.
Yeah, hold that thought, because when we come back, I'm turning it right over to you. I spent a little bit more time reading than I had wanted to. When we come back, I'm going to let you pick up right there, Richard. We're going to continue on, and we're going to move on to the Django Unchained before the sand falls from the hourglass. And
oh,
this is our
dear
final segment coming up.
We gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down.
It's hard to reconcile Christmas music with the topic at hand in the waning moments of our show this evening. My only regret is that we didn't have Richard Spencer on for the full hour, because we could have easily filled that time when talking about these films. I don't know if we'll have time to get into Richard's review of Skyfall, which was sensational. You can find it at alternativeright.com. I poached it from there without paying royalties, so Richard and I will have to have a meeting of the minds after the show. But it's also at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week. Very good piece, Richard Spencer's review of the latest James Bond installment. We're going to talk about the Django Unchained in just a moment. But first, Richard, I was asking you before we ran into that last commercial break if the purpose of this film was to foment more anti-white hatred. You were answering that when time ran out.
Yeah, you know, the answer is yes and no, and that it's complicated. And what I mean by that is that Hollywood, it might produce Django Unchained on occasion. It recognizes that if all of its movies were about crazed blacks raping white women and things like, or Captain America, some big black guy, and he's, you know, Frenching white, you know, it's just, if they do that, that's going to really alienate the people who, at the end of the day, pay the tickets and fund this horrible industry. And so it's got to be more subtle, and it's got to be more moral in a way, kind of like a lot of what Alex Kurdigish has been talking about, this moral aspect to anti-white racism. And I think what Lincoln is putting forth and what a lot of these other are putting forth is not just that whites are bad. I mean, they'll certainly depict Southerners as stupid and bigoted and so on and so forth, but we get that. But it's more that you are a better person, you're a more moral person when blacks are ascend, when blacks ascend to places of power, that you defer to them, when their kind of soul is uplifted, and that you are a more moral white person when that happens. So I think it's much more complicated. It's not just blatant, you know, angry anti-white racism. It's basically something that's more subtle. It appeals to whites. I think that's something we have to understand. Like whites, I don't have this feeling, but whites have some gooey feeling in their guts when they watch Lincoln and they think of all these nice black folks who used to be oppressed and they're now free. And that's why Hollywood is powerful. It's not just because it's seductive. It's that it's kind of morally seductive.
Well, no, Richard, I think you're certainly onto something, and it's a topic for an entire other broadcast, and we could get into the pathology and the psychiatry and psychology and all of that. It's it runs very deep, and it's again something we could just talk about for hours on end, and it would be an interesting conversation and a great show. But if Lincoln was not just an obtuse anti-white film, Django Unchained certainly will be. You know, I took my wife to a movie not long ago, and they ran a trailer for this, and you can find it on the internet on YouTube, but they actually ran that clip during the previews at the theater itself where Jamie Foxx utters the line, "Kill white people and get paid for it, what's not to like?" And of course, in our little suburban enclave, it was an all-white audience there at the theater, and a few of them chuckled, you know, they liked it, but it didn't nearly elicit the reaction that it did when I was seeing a film a couple of years ago, and there was a preview for The Help, where the black maid defecates into the white woman's pie. I mean, that just got a roarous amount of laughter from the whites, but nevertheless, so the Django Unchained. So basically what this is all about, from the guy who brought you Inglourious Basterds, Quentin Tarantino, slave turned bounty hunter Django is out to rescue his wife from the brutal plantation owner from Mississippi, Calvin Candy, played by Leonardo DiCaprio. It's produced by the Weinstein Company, which should tell you just about everything you need to know. And it's being released on Christmas Day, Richard, of all the days of the year. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, Quentin Tarantino, though he is talented, and he's done some kind of interesting stuff.
Well, Reservoir Dogs is a great movie. He misapplies his talent movie, as far as I'm concerned. But
he is interesting, at least. But at some level, Quentin Tarantino is some pubescent teenager. You know? I mean, there's kind of like there's nothing behind it all. He'll do all these references to 70s movies, which he watched when he was a video store clerk. And he'll shock with ultra-violence, all this kind of stuff. But there's ultimately nothing to it. It's kind of like pornography or something. You know, there's no there. It's just graphic violence. And I think what you can see with Inglourious Basterds and Django is essentially that he's kind of finding the person that you're now free to take out a baseball bat and bash their face in with no repercussions, no moral repercussions. And he did that first with Nazis, where, you know, oh, these evil Germans, I mean, let's go torture them. That's hilarious, you know. And I think now they've moved on to Southerners as this is just a barrel of laughs to go kill all these people. So,
well,
I think in some ways he's tapped into something. He's, you know, every society kind of needs a good and evil and heroes and villains, and he's kind of tapped into the ultimate villains, and he's making pornography films about killing them, essentially.
Well, there is almost something on a fetish-like level with Inglourious with regards to the Jewish fetish of revenge against the Germans and then the Django. Mm-hmm. But and it is a parody to some extent, I guess you could say, to his films, at least these last two or most recent two. You saw Lincoln. Are you going to see the Django?
I'm not sure I can bear to go see Django. I'll make a confession. I never actually saw Inglourious Basterds, although I wrote a review of it.
I wrote it. I wrote it. I read your review and I saw the. I did see the movie.
I couldn't bear to actually go sit through that.
I rented it on Redbox though, so I didn't have to pay the $13 ticket fee or whatever it is. So I just I paid a dollar, so they didn't get my.
Yeah.
They weren't able to extort me, but I did see it. I don't think I can see this one, though. I just, I saw that, the line, kill white people and get paid for it, what's not to like, and you see, a white man's blood being splattered onto cotton. That's just...
But maybe it's, I know this sounds kind of provocative, but maybe it's good. I mean, I thought about this, with Machete. This was, there's this whole new genre of, let's torture whitey to death in all these variety of ways. And they're obviously racialized movies, and they're clearly, kind of politicized at some level too. I remember in that Machete movie that came out in 2010, one of the previews, he was like, "Listen up, Arizona, I'm gonna cut you in half with my gigantic machete." And I think at some level maybe we almost need this because the whole Spielberg version, that's something that's very seductive to whites, particularly moral Christian whites. They want to feel righteous. They want to, they want to feel good. And so, helping black people is the ultimate good. Maybe we need more movies like Django and Machete so that we really show whites the sense that they are under attack and that this is the ultimate end game of egalitarianism, is to really just to totally tear you down, tear down the civilization that everyone's on the same level. And that might actually involve killing you. And maybe we need more movies like this to really wake people up.
Richard, we might have to have a part two on this because this is an interesting thing. I love talking about pop culture. I mean, I love talking about any political issue, but pop culture issues, it infuses us into the current. And yeah. I enjoy that on some levels more than talking about some of our other stock and trade. I wish I'd have had you on at the top of the hour because there's just so much more I wanted to talk to you about that we're not going to have time to do. Let me ask you this, and a 30-second answer will do. You did write the review for Skyfall. I encourage people to look it up and read it. Are we going to see a black James Bond, a homosexual James Bond? Is that next? Do you think it'll happen?
I don't think that'll happen because, they need the franchise, and at some level – James Bond is a boyish fantasy. He's certainly been my fantasy since I was a kid. I'll confess on air, and I think at some level Hollywood it's a little more subtle. I think they want to sell tickets. They want to bring people in, and at some level James Bond has to be a kind of snobbish Englishman who's willing to shoot someone when he needs to and who gets the girl in the end. I don't think they'll play with it. If they do, then the series will be over in a matter of seconds.
It would be interesting to see the box office receipts if, Idris Elba was the next James Bond, as has been, rumored, which I don't think there's much substance to that.
Yeah.
Well, Richard, we're going to continue this. Every time you come on, it's just an absolute delight. Give us the website for Washington Summit Publishers where people can read more about and learn more about and support your work.
You can check out all the stuff at washsummit.com. We're actually coming out with a lot of things, so just stay tight in the next few months. We'll have some announcements. But also alternativeright.com is another place. I do contribute there often still.
Well, folks, those are the two URLs. Be sure to check them out. My good friend and yours, Richard Spencer. Richard, thanks for being with us tonight.
Oh, thank you, James.
And folks, on behalf of the entire staff and crew, I'm your host, James Edwards. We will see you next week, same time, same place. I'll even be here at the top of the show Saturday night. Good night, everybody.